Okay, so have the Saudis just bought Global Golf? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. So the world of golf is waking up to a very, very different morning this morning. Some commentators reckon Saudi Arabia has basically bought the whole sport. And it's after the major American and European tours have agreed to merge with the Saudi-backed LIV Golf after a year of saying it was bad for the game. So here's Ollie Dalbert Hansen from the BBC with this report.
Men's professional golf has been split in two for 2 years. On one side were the established tours of the American PGA and Europe's DP World Tour, and on the other, a rebel breakaway golf league called LIV Golf. But who are they? The BBC's golf correspondent Ian Carter explains.
This was funded by Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund. It lured many of the biggest names in the game of golf, the likes of Brooks Koepka, who recently won the PGA Championship, Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson.
Those who left the two established tours were lured, in some cases, with hundreds of millions of dollars. Those who took the money were effectively kicked out of the original tours. Some stuck with them, though, most notably Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And, as former European Ryder Cup captain Padraig Harrington explains, they turned down eye-watering amounts to stay loyal with the PGA Tour.
The top six players who didn't go were offered $2.1 billion between them.
So, after slinging mud at each other for the best part of 2 years, the PGA Tour of America and LIV have struck a deal that will see the two merge. So now you have those who took the money and left joining back up with those who turned down the money and stayed. Jay Monahan is the chief executive of the PGA Tour of America.
I recognize that people are going to call me a hypocrite. And anytime I've said anything, I said it based on someone that's trying to compete for the PGA Tour and our players. We think it's the right agreement.
Former professional Zane Scotland says he feels sorry for Rory McIlroy.
He's really flown the flag and, you know, really gone out on a limb to stand up for what he thinks is right. It seems like the rug's been pulled from underneath him.
So in all the turmoil over the last couple of years, who are the main winners? A question for BBC golf correspondent Ian Carter.
The biggest will be Saudi Arabia because they now have a huge influence over the game on a global basis. They are the primary source of funding. They have their own agenda in terms of which many people will feel is simply sports washing, and it fits in with their future strategy, and they hold serious power now in the world game.
Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund has secured a race on the F1 calendar, and they now own English soccer club Newcastle United. But becoming a major player with a seat at golf's top table is arguably their boldest move yet. Manchester, I'm the BBC's Ollie Dalbert Hansen for Marketplace.
Now, let's see the numbers. European stocks are down this morning, so the Stock 600 lost 0.2%, and France's CAC 40 lost 0.4%, and it's all because German economic data out today missed expectations. And Turkey's lira dropped to a new record low of 22.7% against the dollar, as President Erdogan's new economic team is anticipated to ease restrictions that had previously slowed down the currency's depreciation. The US Securities and Exchange Commission has taken legal action to temporarily freeze Binance's assets after investors withdrew a substantial amount of money, $780 million to be exact, from the world's biggest crypto exchange within a single day. It came after the SEC said it was suing the company, accusing it of engaging in deceptive practices. It's also suing Coinbase, the largest crypto trading platform in America, after accusing it of operating as an exchange without registering as one. Emily Nicole, a crypto blogger and reporter for Bloomberg News, explains why this is happening now.
The fact that two exchanges back to back are being sued kind of shows what the SEC's thought process is in terms of how it's going to handle the crypto sector. The US has yet to really pass or even propose any regulatory regime for crypto. And so as a watchdog for the sector that believes it has jurisdiction over assets like cryptocurrencies, the SEC is doing what it can in terms of enforcing how it views these exchanges have mishandled customer assets or not appropriately registered their products with the watchdog.
That was Emily Nicole from Bloomberg News. The prospect that the Chinese state has access to TikTok user data has been a concern for a while. Now a former TikTok executive says members of the Chinese Communist Party gained access to TikTok data in Hong Kong in 2018, something the company has denied. The BBC's Monica Miller has the details.
Well, Yin Taoyu is a former head of engineering for ByteDance in the United States, and he worked there between August 2017 and November 2018. He says that China's Communist Party committee members focused on civil rights activists in Hong Kong during ongoing protests and accessed their TikTok data to show their locations and activities. He said that they had a backdoor firewall created by ByteDance that was designed as to be deceptive to outsiders, but that the Communist Party had access to what was called a God credential, which allowed them access to view data collected by ByteDance. Now, again, these allegations are part of a filing of a wrongful dismissal lawsuit of Mr. Yu, and that was filed in a court case in California. And, you know, this comes at a time when TikTok is trying to convince U.S. policymakers that their app is safe for its users. TikTok executives have repeatedly said that the company doesn't share its data with the Chinese government, and they say that claims are baseless and that he was fired in July 2018. And they're downplaying or saying that he really didn't have as much influence over it. He worked on a program for Flipagram, which was discontinued years ago for business reasons, and that they say his actions are clearly to garner media attention.
BBC's Monica Miller there, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.